If you'll go ahead in your New Testament and locate the book of Hebrews, starting out in chapter 6, verse 10, the book of Hebrews. We're going to talk today about serving Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you've helped His people and continue to help them. Last week, presented a message about the fact that Jesus is the Christ. And it's important that we understood that, and that therefore that would drive whatever else we do in life, once we understand that. We've been called to be His servants. Most of the time you'll think of the phrase, we've been called to be His disciples. When we use the word disciple, a lot of times people just think that's something intellectually I learned from Him, I pick up His philosophies, I pick up His wisdom, and I use that. The word servant, disciple implies servant, but a lot of times we don't take it that far. So I want to focus on that word today. We are to serve Jesus Christ. That's what we've been called to do. Now, here in this passage, the book of Hebrews, Paul, well, we believe Paul wrote it. It doesn't say in the text, and some scholars wonder who wrote it actually. But it's written to the 12 tribes that are scattered throughout all the places. It's written to try to give the Jewish people and the Christians that have come into the faith an understanding of what God expects. Chapter 5, for example, verse 11, it talks about warning against falling away. In preceding to this, chapter 6, verse 1 says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teaching about Christ and go on to maturity. He's talking about, we don't need to fall away, and we need to grow. And part of growth is learning how to serve in God's kingdom. We've been called to be His servants, the servants of Jesus Christ. Not everybody wants to be a servant. Most people want to be the person who tells the servant what to do. Now, we don't want to be the one who stands there and get paid to open the doors for people or drive the taxis or some other form of service. We just don't want to do that. We want to be the guy. Some of you worked at some manual labor jobs. I got introduced to the workforce. Dad's boss at McGee Plumbing and Heating allowed some of us teenagers to work during the summer as helpers. And very seldom was I included in the consultation of how to put the plumbing in the building. Usually I was handed, as Dad called it, the idiot stick. And I would go out, and my job was to dig the ditch. If the ditch wasn't dug, couldn't put the pipe in, make sure it was graded right. So somebody had to dig the ditch. The guy that knows it to the trade real well needs to be doing a lot of other things, while the person who knows little needs to be digging the ditch. I got introduced to other things too as well. There are a number of you have got the same thing. When I went to work at Golden Corral back in 1983, when I walked in, the guy didn't say, hey, I've been waiting for you. You are going to be the manager, and I'm going to work for you instead. What did he do right off the bat? You got to learn the basic trades. If you're going to be an assistant manager in time, you got to learn the basic trades. So the first thing you're doing is you're working the line, the fry cook, they call it, the line working. And then you start going back to where they're cutting the meat in the back, and then you start doing other things. Finally, one day, he says, okay, you're ready. I'm going to try you as assistant manager. You don't become the right off the bat the boss, do you? So most of us understand that startup work. The difference between out there in the world and Christianity is you never stop being a servant. You will always be a servant of Jesus Christ. He's going to always be the master. You're not going to take His place. And He has assigned you, according to the gifts and talents He's given you, jobs within the church. You may not have discovered your job yet, but He has assigned you. If you read Corinthians and you read the Roman passages, we've all been given certain gifts. Maybe the gift of generosity, maybe the gift of leadership. The gifts are falling in administration. All kinds of gifts that are listed there are where we're supposed to be using our gifts to serve His church, and in doing so, we serve Him. So understand, we've been called to be servants, and we need to do that. In this verse here, of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, you notice it starts off by saying, God is not unjust. What is the opposite of unjust? Just. Okay? So what is God if He's not unjust? He is therefore just. When I go in front of a judge, or I go in front of a panel to evaluate my worth about whether to get a promotion or not, I want a fair hearing, right? I don't want it already decided ahead of time. I mean, you go into a committee or you go into a hearing type thing where they're going to ask you certain questions to decide whether or not you should be given this promotion. And you go through all the motions, you answer all the questions right, and then you find out later it was awarded to the boss's son. And what do you say? What was the use of the what? Well, we should go in front of this group. I mean, it was already pre-planned, pre-decided. Why are we going through the motions? And we know sometimes the good old boy network works. Sometimes you need that little end to get in. But the thing is God is just. When you get done talking with Him, when you get evaluated by Him, He is fair and He is righteous. He will do the absolute right thing no matter what. He is going to be just and be able to remember everything that we have done, and our work will not be forgotten. You all have had a situation occur where you've done 1,000 things for your neighbor. You've done 1,000 things. And then one day something didn't go right and they're mad at you. And part of you have said many a times, has he forgotten all that stuff I did before? Have you not had this discussion in your mind with somebody with some time? Have they not forgotten what I've done for them? God is just. He will remember what we have done. And it says there in verse 10, God is not unjust. He will not forget. And in particular, He's not going to forget your work and the love that you've shown Him. The work that we perform for Jesus, for God, is going to be remembered. It's not going to fall by the wayside. Again, I've had the privilege of trying to help someone acclimate into a nursing home, a health care facility, an adult care facility. And I notice all the people in the place, they all have lives. They all have a history. But most of them have reached the point where they can't remember most everything they've done. And nobody else is going to remember. It's all going to be shoved under the carpet, all gone by the wayside. All the stuff you've done, all the things that you thought were important, it just kind of goes away. Maybe you remember a few things. Maybe you're blessed to remember more. But the vast majority of things are gone. For those of us that are older, can you tell me what you did on the second day of your first grade? Can you tell me what you did on the fourth day of your fourth grade? Most of us can't even tell us what we did in it was junior high for me. I can't remember 9th, 10th, or 11th grade. I can remember just what I want to remember. But everything you've done for the Lord, it's going to be remembered. Every work that you have performed and all the love that you have shown will be remembered. And that's great. That's good to know, isn't it? When it comes time and you come forward and you got all the stuff that you did wrong in your life, but God chooses not to remember that. In Jesus Christ, He remembers your work and your love that you've done for His kingdom. That is, yeah, amen to that. It's grace and it's just. Now, he then slides into this latter part of this verse here where he says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and your love that you've shown Him as you've done what? In particular, it says here in the NIV, as you've helped His people and continue to help them. In the King James, the word help is translated as ministered. Minister. The word minister, we often say, well, he's our minister, you know, at a church. The word minister comes from the same word that we get servant from. It's just a servant. That's all a minister is a servant. He's serving God. He's serving the people. He's just serving. Well, we're all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We may not have that official ordination, and we may not feel like we're just led to be the one up in the pulpit, but we're all been set apart as ministers of Jesus Christ. We're servants of His. So we go forth and serve. And He says here in the text here that as you serve, have you served His people and continue to help them? We've been called to minister to one another, to find ways to help each other. Sometimes we get self ahead of everything, don't we? Maybe far too often. We put our own worldly pleasures, our own worldly thoughts, our own worldly calendar, and we shove it in front of everything, and then Jesus gets leftover service. Because we have so many grandkids and they like to come over, their favorite meal is pizza. I mean, all day long you can get them pizza and they're happy. I think you can serve it to them 7 days a week, 3 meals a day, and then snacks as well. But anyway, because they get pizza, I've ate more pizza in the last few years than I had in the previous years that I, you know, had raised kids and stuff. So, but I have come to notice this. When we bring the pizza home, Little Caesars is the cheapest, so we feed the kids the cheap stuff. So we bring Little Caesars home, get the pepperoni or we get the cheese one. Each one's $5. I'm not advertising for them. It's just the way it goes. So if I'm going to have a pizza from them, now I watch the older grandkids especially. They'll come home from school and there's still some pizza in their refrigerator. They'll pop it right out cold and just eat it. They're welcome to their taste buds. But I find that the pizza tastes the best not too long after you've got it home and you open the lid and you pick it up. It's just enough not to burn your mouth, but you bite right into it. That's good. I can warm it up all day long later. I can microwave it all I want later. Whatever. I just can't get that same flavor back. You know, I want that taste right then and there. We've been called to serve Jesus Christ, and serving Him is supposed to be joyous. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be good. We're supposed to be going after that with everything we got. Just like you enjoy that taste of pizza, well, go enjoy serving Jesus Christ. Don't let it get stale. Don't let it get old. Don't let it get cold. Keep seeking ways to serve Him. We've been called to do that. We've been called to serve others. Take a look at how you can minister. Now, you got to choose to do this. I can't make you do it. And you can't just do it because it's a checklist. Well, if I do these 10 things, the preacher will stop harping on it, or my Sunday school teacher won't mention it anymore, or my wife won't mention it, or my children. If I just do these 10 things, it's over with. I'm done. I got my checklist out of the way. No, it has to come from your heart. You have to want to do this. Take a look around to see how you can serve. Over the years, how have people served here at South Mills? Well, some people have said, God has given me a talent. It's on that checklist that I can teach. So they jump in when they see a class opportunity and they teach. Some say, I feel like I'm gifted in the area maybe to be able to sing. So I approach the people and I join the choir or I ask for being the praise team or do something. But I get up there and sing. Some people who know how to play instruments. I want to play my instrument to the glory of God and I want it to minister to other people. So how do I do that? Well, you start talking to the praise teams and stuff. And next thing you know, you're playing an instrument. So look for ways to do that. Some of you just love babies to no end. So, you know, you go back there in the nursery and you'll find a couple of helpers every week that want to sort of minister to the babies. Others aren't gifted in that area, but they're gifted. They love them. They can love on them. They can make them feel so wonderful. And I watch as you go through the church building a lot of times, during the count or whatever, you see people serving in every area possible. Now, some of our teenagers have jumped in and offered to help in different places. Some of them do it because out here it's too boring. Their motivation is don't necessarily enjoy the style overall of music and worship, and then also the minister. I mean, he doesn't use PowerPoint. He doesn't use a whole bunch of fancy things. He's not jumping up and down and screaming. So they got to find some place. So one today probably is back there in the nursery because that's watching babies is better than watching me. Right? And others have done the same thing. Teenagers will float on you in a minute in any church. But either way, they're serving. Tickled to death. Their motivation may not be the best, but they are serving. Keep looking for ways to serve. Miss Joanne Carclasure has been in the nursing home for 30 days. How could we serve her? How could you personally serve her? First of all, what do you got to want to do? You got to want to. If you don't want to, the rest of it doesn't matter. But if you want to, how can I serve Miss Joanne? You mentioned a card. I could do a card. If she got a phone number, what could I do? Make a phone call. I got a few minutes in my day. Maybe I'll go visit. Hey, I want to teach my kids about service. Maybe I'll load up a couple of the kids as teenagers and we'll just drift out there and visit with her. Or if she comes home, maybe I'll go by there. I mean, you can think of ways to do it. Most of us are thinking of ways not to do it. How can we help Miss Pat out, who just went into an adult care facility? Same way, right? If you know that she likes a certain diet drink, maybe you could pick up a small six-pack of that type stuff, or eight, whatever it comes now, six or eight. I don't know how it comes, some sodas. You could do that. You could minister to her that way. She's supposed to drink water every day. Most people don't like to drink it out of the tap. So you go pick up some of that. You get a food line. You get a whole bunch of them for cheap. I don't know. You go buy the fancy kind. I don't know what the difference is between the two. They still taste like water to me. But anyway, I'd rather buy the cheaper. But you can do something like that. Just find ways to minister. How can you help our teachers in the back? How can you serve helping our teachers? How about a pat on the back once in a while? An encouraging letter, a note to them saying, I'm glad you teach. That's not an age group I could handle, but I'm so thrilled to death that you're doing it. And how can we minister to them? You hear about, like, back there in the back there, Kim Jones. Kim Jones has been doing junior church for how many years now? Not junior church, but Kids for Christ. We changed the name a couple years ago. It's Kids for Christ. She's been doing it for a long time. It's in the bulletin. It's been in the bulletin for over a year now. That she needs a helper. So she could once in a while sit in the auditorium with her husband. Now, Sheila Spivey has volunteered to help, 2 months a year, I believe, or 3 months a year, whatever it is, something like that. And that's been a big help to her, except when Sheila's on the praise team. That's understandable. Then Kim covers it. But most of the rest of the 52 weeks, where's she at? She's not complaining, by the way. She just would like someone to say, you know, once a month I think I'll let you sit with your husband, so I'll go back and teach. Or maybe you and your husband. It seems like the ladies want to teach kids more so than men do. But anyway, that's not always the case. Jason and Julie House are back there teaching Kids Kingdom this morning. They, matter of fact, they have raised their children, Jenna and... it's a J. Anyway, yeah, we'll get it right here in a minute. Anyway, they've raised him in the back. Jacob, there you go, thank you. Whoever didn't say it, all right. Jacob's in the back. When I walked by the door a minute ago doing the count, Jacob was helping to teach the lesson. He's 11th or 12th grader, 10th grader, or something like that. And he's helping teach the lesson. They've raised him to do that. You know, they teach twice a month. There's others of you that have filled in and helped out at different times in that place. And just it's just been nice. I just can't thank the teachers enough. If it wasn't for my Sunday school teachers and later for my Methodist Youth Fellowship teachers, if it wasn't for them, I don't know whether I'd ever become a Christian or not. I don't know if I'd ever learned enough to become a follower of Jesus Christ. It was just, I love Vacation Bible School. I appreciate all the teachers that helped with that. I can still think of how Vacation Bible School helped me. We need servants. We need people to step forward and serve. How many of you like to come in here and see the place clean? Is there anybody here that doesn't like to see the place clean? No, I wouldn't like my house. You know, if it was up to me, you know, there'd be stuff on the floor and everything because I'd feel like I'm at home. You know, and until Carol comes home, then I don't feel like I'm at home anymore. It's going to get picked up. But this place gets cleaned every week. Because we have servants that are willing to sacrifice time and energy to come out here and to jump in and clean. It wasn't on my list to say, hey, I'd like to be the one who makes sure I clean the bathrooms every week. How about you? Is that a fun job? Is that one of those glorious jobs? You know, what was on your resume? Well, I cleaned the bathrooms at church for 10 years. Why? Because no one else did it. You know. No, I mean, it's not something you put on your resume, is it? But people are cleaning. Cleaning behind teenagers upstairs in that other part is a challenge. Because teenagers, they do the same thing here that they do at home. They don't always pick up stuff behind them. They drop wrappers wherever they came from candy. They sometimes leave their open. They brought soda bottles with them or water bottles, and they'll just leave them stuck anywhere. They'll get snacks over here. I mean, we can get on their case all they want, but they're still going to be teenagers when we get done yelling at them. And they're still going to forget once in a while. So people go behind them clean. Cleaning up behind teenagers is a challenge. We can go down the list, but I appreciate all these people that clean and make sure it's done. We got people to make sure that baptistry is ready every week, whether we use it or not. They make sure. Anybody here have a pool? Keeping track of a pool, is it fun? I mean, the reason why we have a pool is because Carol loves her grandkids. That's why we have a pool. It's because Carol loves the grandkids. If it was up to me, I love the grandkids, but we can go somewhere else and pay somebody else to take care of a pool. We'll go over to somebody else's house. But I got into this, and now I go to Clearwater Pools twice a week, take my little sample of the water, and they tell me what kind of chemicals I got to put in it. If the older grandkids are coming over, I make sure it's heavy in chlorine. No, I don't. I don't worry about the little ones. I just want to make sure they're okay. I get the leaves out of it. Since Carol won't get in the pool, I have to get in with them, and they want to go in regardless of what the temperature is. And they're not quite tall enough. The older two are, but the younger ones are not quite where I feel comfortable leaving them in there. So I got to get in that pool. That water, it gets cold. And I've reached the point in my age, later in the evening, it seems to be the further down the water is, the colder it gets. So when I go into the house later and get all dried off and everything, the knees are aching just a little bit more than they used to be aching. Because of the coldness, instead of being the nice warmth on them. But I make sure the pool's ready. Well, this baptistry has to be ready every week. I don't think Hersey and Carl, and I think he gets Josh to help him. I don't think they get in the pool and just hang out. But we had a heater problem, and Carl stayed after this. And today he was celebrating. In fact, we've gone 1 week without a breaker kicking out on it. So, I mean, that's a joy to him. But baptistry is ready. People are willing to serve. I have the app on the phone with the cameras. So the other day I noticed, man, we got a whole bunch of cameras going off. Sure enough, I said, somebody must be cutting grass. So I brought up there, and Kim was out here riding, doing all the whole thing, getting the blower out, all that type stuff, making sure it was done, squeezing it in between storms, I guess. And that's why you see it. If you've got a skill or a talent in there, you jump on it. The rose bushes have been taken well, good care of here the last couple years, or last year or so, been really looked at, been ministering to. We like to drive up and place look nice. I mean, but it takes servants to do this. Now, I could go through this whole list, and you're probably getting that tired of this right now. I could go through a whole list of people serving in the church. What we need is to make sure everybody is pitching in. I go to the house. We're having a group of people over to the house. Carol's cooking in the other room. I don't holler in the other room, Carol, everybody in here is thirsty. Can you get somebody something to drink? First of all, I do that because I want to live a little longer. Okay? And in my face, it may not be the best, but I like to look in the mirror and see it not all lumped up, right? So, what do I do? What does a tentative husband do? A tentative husband do? Go, gets the drinks, and finds out what everybody wants. And then, if there's any other things that I have to, she doesn't really want me to do the cooking. But that doesn't mean when we're done, I can't help clear the table, does it? Everybody pitching in. Those of you that have teenagers, you know that they don't always pitch in willingly. You have to kind of teach them the right way. But it's nice when everybody pitches in, does their part. It takes a load off everyone. What's the same way at the church here? We got certain jobs here that need your help, need your attention. Pitch in and help. We got certain classes that need to be taught. You need to jump in and pitch. Pitch in and help where you can there. But also look outside the building. If all we do is on this building and grounds, if that's all we do, we'll only be a such and such church. We got to keep looking out to see how we can minister. How are we ministering outside of our walls, outside of our perimeter, outside of our barrier here? Are we reaching out and ministering? Are we taking care of the shut-ins? Are we reaching out to people that have lost loved ones? Are we doing something for them? Take a look at what you're doing and find out whether you're doing it or not the way God wants it done. Now, we've been called to serve and minister to one another. Our goal is to do this in love for Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, we're told our example is Jesus Christ, because He gave up glory. He gave up heaven. He gave up all of the adoration and worship He was receiving there, and He put on the form of a servant. Humbled Himself and became obedient and served here. We need to make sure we're doing that. Jesus did not come down here to be served, as one passage says, but rather to serve. And the greatest example of service was probably Calvary, right? He died on the cross for us. Another great example of service is in the upper room of these people having nasty feet. What does He do? He washes them. He gets out there and He ministers. So today our challenge is not just acknowledge Him as Lord and say, yes, He is the Christ, He is the Messiah, He is the One. Just not acknowledge it, but rather get on board and say, how can I serve? Where is it that I can serve? What is it that I can do? It doesn't have to be anything major. We have Pat McClure is worried to death about her Joy Box ministry. Now, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. But she's made a shoebox, hundreds of them, over the course of the time that she took on this ministry. She took on the shoebox ministry, and she would make a shoebox, wrap it all up pretty, and then she would put a little note in there saying, this package is for you. Please open a little gift each day. And then she found ways to get gifts over the years, seven small gifts, and you would open up each day and have passages of Scripture. Now, if you're homesick or you're in the hospital not feeling well, fighting something, isn't that a little nice way to say, somebody's thinking of you today, somebody's thought of you, and all week long we're thinking of you? And it brought a little joy. The reason why it's called joy is J is for Jesus, the O is for others, and the Y is for yourself last. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's why it's called joy. She's worried about who's going to take it over. I said, I got no idea who's going to take it over. It may be one of these ministries that just ends. But maybe somewhere or another, God will lay it on your heart and say, look, me and the kids can sit down and make a box a week. Or me and the wife can sit down and do it. Or the husband and I can sit down. Or maybe I can just do it. Maybe that's something that might interest you. Don't you know? The Love Bear Ministry. A number of you help to sew the Love Bears. You get the filler together. You make sure everything's ready. We can put a little tag on it. The church is sort of recognized. At least Jesus Christ gets the credit. And then we distribute these. Maybe that's a skill area you can do. What do we do with them? We give them to police stations and to hospitals and other places like that. And we even got a nice letter back one day from a lady who it just meant the world to her that her child had received that little Love Bear in a difficult situation and brought her joy. Maybe that's something you minister with. For you teenagers, and you got musical talents, our youth praise group, you know, that we've had, they've done a couple songs up here. They did a song or two recently at the Day Apart Fellowship for the older senior citizens. One of the ministers that was there contacted me this week and said, can your teen praise group come to our church on October 14th and present two songs to help us worship as part of our homecoming and homecoming day? So I contacted Aaron Ford, and he said, yeah, that's a go. Roy said it was a go. The elders said it was a go. So on October 14th, that little praise group that's been working is going to present two songs to a group of people up there in Chesapeake, Virginia, Great Bridge Church of Christ, and help them on their day. Now, if you got a teenager that wants to use music, singing, or instruments in this effort, then get up with Aaron and get him involved. He wants to add more instruments, doesn't want to just stay with the five or six people right now, but wants more people to. But don't you think that's great that they want to do that? I think it's great that they want our kids to come. But the teens have to get up and do it and serve. They're not going to get paid a whole lot of money. Their name's not going to be in the marquee. It's not going to be up there in lights for everybody. You're going to do it for Jesus Christ. Let's serve. I'm going to wrap this up with the latter part of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end. So how long should you serve? All right, to your last breath is probably good, the best way to word it. In order to make your hope sure, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. When you serve, there's a tendency to kind of, man, I'm wore out. I'm done with this. It's somebody else's job. Find you a task and keep serving. Dean Moss, for example, taught a whole bunch of years in Sunday school. I mean, years and years and years since she taught. She even goes back to last century. So, you don't understand what I'm saying here. We all go back to most of us go back to last century somewhere or another. But she served and served. But you know, when she got done teaching, she didn't quit. I don't know if you noticed or not, but the sign out front was changed a lot over the last few years. cold weather, warm weather, hot weather, rainy weather. It was changed. Changed every week. And you know who's been doing that? Now, if you've ever go out and change the sign, it lifts up like this. Now, fortunately, Dean's not built like her son-in-law, right up there in the height. But it's built more like my height. But still, you have to do this. And it gets old after a while, especially now that she's over 45. Okay? So it gets old. But what did she do? She did. She didn't get tired. She didn't tell the Lord, I'm not doing anything else. I'm going to still serve in some way, and that's one thing I can do. Don't get lazy. Don't quit. If you're not currently doing something, pray about it. Look at what your talent pool is and say, here, I'm going to work. If it has to be, it can be here at the church or it can be somewhere else. But let's serve the Lord. Jesus is calling you. You need to respond to Him. You need to believe Jesus is the Christ. You need to believe that with all your heart, soul, and mind. Every ounce of your being needs to believe that He is the Christ. Because if you believe that, nothing can hold you back from serving. But you need to believe that. Repent of your sins. Confess Him as Lord of your life. We believe the New Testament teaches immersion. Because on the day of Pentecost, when the people asked what they should do, Peter said, repent and be baptized. So if you want today, come. We will baptize you into Christ. What happens at baptism? You'll be clothed with Christ. Your sins will be washed away. Your name will be written in Lamb's Book of Life. You'll be part of the church of God for all time. For those of you that are already immersed believers, but sin comes some way back into your life, you've turned your life over to Satan again for some reason, you're following the ways of the world, whatever it may, whatever terms you want to use. I know you're not happy in that state. You can't be. It's got to be an inner turmoil. Repent of whatever sin it is you're committing and ask God for forgiveness. As an immersed believer, you have access to the throne of grace and mercy. He'll grant it. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. Some of you are immersed believers which haven't placed your fellowship with us yet. Consider doing that. Come, place your fellowship. And for the rest of us, we need to kick ourselves in gear. There's places we need to serve. There's things that need to be done. We need to push hard in our prayer life. We need to push hard in our Bible study life. We need to get ourselves on fire in our personal walk with Him and in our church walk with Him.